Briefly tell you my career back at the BU after the war. My total service was 48 years, but you've got to subtract the years coming up to apprenticeship and war years, about 7. So I think I went back in 1946, but it may be a year out. It may have been 47 when I went back. When I first went back, I was given a wide training program of going around every machine building, assembling department that there was, and there'd be a full half a dozen of those. And whereas my pay as a major had been £1,200 a year then, I went back to the BU on £6.19 and 6p, and so as far as the family went, they were hard times. I did a year of this training time, and then I was put into the drawing office, the works drawing office, where I can't remember precisely, but maybe I did 1 or 2 years in the drawing office. And then I got promoted to the experimental drawing office. And I suppose pay was inching up at 5 shillings a increment on this. And the bit I remember clearly is about this time I was sent for by a couple of the directors who say, we're offering you the chance to go on the pension scheme. And I said, and the pension scheme was the employee paid a contribution and the company paid a contribution. My contribution at that time would be 5 shillings a week. And it just happened to be 5 shillings, happened to be, these are old shillings, of course, 5 shillings a week happened to be the amount of my paper, my milk bill, my family milk bill. There was my wife and I and our first son, and our milk bill used to be 5 shillings, and I had to think very, very hard before I could say I could afford to go on it, because that was 5 shillings less take home. But by the grace of God, I said yes. And at this point in time, I've had 30 years pension, so I made the right decision. I'd been in the XTO a year or two, but I remember the year was 1951, when I was called in by the director of research and said, we have got a small research unit on the accessories side. This unit on the accessories side was more chemical engineering than mechanical engineering, and it was a unit of about 5 or possibly 6 men, but it was situated in the middle of this group of factories all over near the canal, what we called the other side of the road. There was 2 Celastic factories there making shoe stiffening materials with nitrocellulose as the impregnant. There was a counter factory that made the stiffener for the back end of the shoe in board-like materials. When I say board-like, they're paper-based fibres. There was a tack and nail factory making tacks, nails, heel pins. There was a sandpaper factory making all of the sandpaper shaped tools to fit the abrasive jobs that are used in shoe factories and so on. I probably not remembered them all by now. Oh, and there was another one, was a big one, called the Box Toe Factory. And the Box Toe Factory made, again, shoe stiffening materials, like where the toes stiffened and so on. There was another one, yes, called the Cellar Unit. If you could imagine a football boot in the old fashioned with an old brown boot with a very, very hard toe. The materials that made that very, very hard toe were made from this Cellar Unit thing. So there were all these different varieties, trades, and they're all having constant development work. And I got two or three apprentices, one or two older men, and I was very, very fortunate having one very good apprentice who I could rely on. And so we took on all sorts of jobs which normally would have been thought beyond our capacity. They wanted a big machine making for impregnating and coating the base material. The base materials were always what they call raised cotton cloth. Raising is a system which makes the side fluffy, and then if these cloths are impregnated in some molten plastic or dissolved plastic, they can either be reactivated by heat or by another solvent. If they're done by another solvent, they harden when they dry out. If they're done by heat, they go hard or harder when they cool off. And we got into this little unit, really got into doing jobs almost that you'd think beyond its capacity. We made whole impregnating plants. Previously, the impregnating plants had either been made under license from the United States, or they'd been bought in as a ready-made outfit with all the drawings and all ready to run. But in my time, with a chemical laboratory which was run by a friend of mine at the time, developing small pieces, we would transfer that idea into a production unit, say, about 54 inches wide, continuous rolls. And I think while I was there, I think we made three of these plants. And from the same drawings, there was another plant opened up near Middlesbrough. I've forgotten the precise name of the town now, but it was where, at the time, where labour would be more readily available, and it was one of the plants. I did that until, I must have done that for about 12 years. Then there was a major reorganisation, a research department on the shoe machinery side, and I'll explain that in a minute, but I was transferred to the shoe machinery side.